September 20th, 2013 meeting of the Chicago State University Board of Trustees is hereby called to order. Ms. Phillips, would you take the roll call, please?
Trustee Curtin?
Here.
Trustee Joyce?
Here.
Trustee Leake?
Present.
Trustee Smith?
Here.
Trustee Young?
Here.
A quorum exists for the business of the board to begin. Ms. Phillips, will you certify that the notice of this meeting has been given pursuant to the requirements of the Open Meetings Act?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the meeting notice requirements have been met. Notices were posted 48 hours before this meeting in the Cook Administration, Student Union, and the Academic Library buildings.
The first item is approval of the minutes. Are there any comments or corrections to the minutes of the June 28th, 2013 board meeting? If there are no comments or correction, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leake?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes. Next on the agenda is the resolutions we approved in May and June of 2012. Were you going to present that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Langdon Neal. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
As a housekeeping matter, we need to pass a resolution which ratifies the previous meetings of May and June of 2012 due to vacancies. And we actually had a trustee arrive late to the opening of the meeting. We did not have a quorum established at that time, so we need to ratify those actions which we took at that meeting. I think you have the minutes in front of you from those meetings, so I would ask that you pass a resolution which states that any and all prior acts of the board made in the open meeting held on May 11th, 2012 and June 29th, 2012, including but not limited to any and all motions, resolutions, and appointments are hereby ratified, approved, adopted, and confirmed by the board today.
I move to approve the resolutions from the May and June 2012 Board of Trustee meetings. Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leake?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes. We'll have our report from Academic and Student Affairs.
We have a number of action items. We're going to present those. There are six items. We'll hear from Vice President Henderson, and we will vote on those after.
Yes. Thank you, Trustee Joyce. Today, for your consideration, we have two administrators who are requesting tenure status. The first one is Dr. Anna Ratha. She's an associate professor in pharmaceutical sciences in the Department of our Pharmaceutical Sciences in the College of Nursing. Our second administrator who is seeking tenure at our university is Dr. Satasha Green, PhD, associate professor. Her PhD is in multicultural education, and she comes to us from the Institute of Technology in New York, and she was tenured at both the University of Alaska and the New York Institute of Technology. Also for your consideration, we have six grants that we would like to receive at the university. Our first one is the Urban Mindfulness and Addictions Research Grant. We've received that grant from the Department of Health and Human Services in the amount of $1,978,826 for a five-year period. We do have some professors here who we have the principal investigator here today, and we have our professors who will be working on that grant. And as I continue to move through the resolutions, I'll ask them to stand briefly.
Thank you.
Our next, and thank you. Our next resolution is the Textbooks and Learning Materials Program grant. As you recall, we came before you at the last board meeting requesting to receive $4.4 million from USAID, the Department of Education, to prepare textbooks in Ghana. This particular sub-grant is for us to provide Buck Press Limited funds to print 113,333 literacy teacher guides in Ghana in the amount of $1,180,845. We will print the textbooks using this particular printing company. Also for your consideration is the LSAMP Bridge to the Doctorate grant at the University of Illinois Chicago, our bridge program with U of I. We've received a grant from the National Science Foundation to help bridge our students to the doctorate and the MD program at UIC. The overall goal is to increase the numbers of underserved students entering careers in biomedical research. The period of the grant contract is September 15, 2013 through August 31st, 2015. Our next resolution is the Combined Priority for Personnel Development grant. We've received this grant from the Department of Education in the amount of $299,987. This particular grant is, it will be used to address the shortage of occupational registered and licensed occupational therapists in urban settings. The period covered by the grant contract is January 1st, 2014 through December 31st, 2014. And our final resolution is a student development grant. We've received a continuation grant award from the Department of Health and Human Services, the National Institutes of Health, entitled Student Development at Chicago State University, in the amount of $1,364,324, in increments of $341,081 for the next 4 years. This grant will provide funding to increase the number of students served by the Biological Sciences, Chemistry, and Physics Department to continue their education onto biomedical graduate programs. And it is also used to ensure the quality of their preparation. The period covered by the grant contract is September 1st, 1999 through October 31st, 2017. And that concludes my resolutions.
All right, are there any questions or comments from trustees on those six items? If not, I'll make a motion to approve the following action items: granting of tenure status, two of our faculty members, the Kumar grant, the textbooks and learning materials grant, the LSAMP bridge to the doctorate grant, combined priority for personnel development grant, and the student development at CSU grant.
Second.
Do I hear a motion? All right, I made a motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Thank you.
Right. Trustee Curtin on finance and audit.
I believe we have a number of items to deal with today, so I would ask Mr. Pinkleton, if he would, to, oh, there he is already, thank you, to go ahead and give the report and indicate what action items we need to deal with.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, distinguished trustees. For the record, my name is Larry Pinkleton, Interim Vice President of Administration and Finance. I'd like to update the trustees on the cash position that the university is currently looking at. Based on our net cash in the bank, currently we have approximately $20.6 million. We have restricted funds that will total approximately $5.9 million, giving us an unrestricted cash balance of approximately $14.7 million. Based on our projected collections over the next 90 days, we are anticipating $20.5 million to come into the university. In that same period, we're looking at projected expenditures at approximately $24.9 million. And if we factor in the unrestricted cash, the projected collections, in addition to the expenditures which are anticipated during that time period, we're looking at a positive balance of $10.3 million. This would suggest that in the event that the university does have any unforeseen issues, we do have the appropriate cash reserves to deal with those issues. Looking at the state appropriation status based on our fiscal year 2013 numbers, again, this is 2013, I just want to update the Board of Trustees. Our provision for state in 2013 was $37.1 million. Based on payments that have been made to date, we have in fact received $37 million, which does translate into a 100% of the funding that we had anticipated from the state having been received. At this point, we have turned the corner and we're anticipating contributions from the state for our fiscal year 14 time period, although to date we have not received any payments. Are there any questions on the university's cash position? Okay, seeing none, hearing none, moving on. I have two resolutions to bring to the Board of Trustees. The first would be our fiscal year 2014 budget. Where we're at in the process right now, trustees, we have in the latter part of June, this past summer, we brought to the committee a preliminary fiscal year 14 budget. That budget was passed on a preliminary basis. That gave us the opportunity to operate over the summer and basically come out of the gate strong. Over the last 3 or 4 months, we have continued to put the appropriate amount of due diligence behind our budget analysis and firmed up all the anticipated funding that we expect from the state, in addition to finalizing some of the assumptions around tuition and fee revenues. Based on all of our calculations to date, we're anticipating a $132 million full-year budget for the fiscal year 2014 time period. As you know, there are four primary components that will comprise our fiscal year 2014 budget: the state fund, the income fund, which would be tuition and revenue, non-appropriated dollars, in addition to other restricted funds, which are grants income. Again, the cumulative impact of that funding that will be made available to us is anticipated to be approximately $132 million. To give some context to how that compares to prior periods, the fiscal year 2013 operating budget was approximately $126 million, suggesting a 5% increase on a net basis. The primary reason behind that increase would be funding that the university has received from the state gaming fund, which is a part of our state appropriation. And then looking at how the university compares to the how our final fiscal year 2014 budget compares to the preliminary budget, it's up just slightly, 1.5%. Primary changes being made in the non-appropriated funds, which are our auxiliary operations. Are there any questions concerning the fiscal year 2014 budget resolution?
I have a question. You alluded to the gaming fund increase. What affects the revenue from the gaming fund? How is that calculated?
The state legislature has appropriated $4.6 million to the university. Based on the composition of that $4.6 million, there's a $3 million, what has been described as a one-time payment that will be made to the university over the course of the 12-month period, and then there's an annual appropriation of $1.6 million, which we have to request every year. So on a go-forward basis, at this point, we expect the $1.6 million to be a part of our state appropriation going into the out years beyond fiscal year 2014.
And that was an unexpected increase from the preliminary budget? Because there was an increase from that fund.
No, right? No. I was comparing that was compared to the fiscal year 13 time period.
All right.
Okay, year over year.
there any other questions from the trustees? If not, can I get a motion to approve the fiscal year 2014 budget resolution?
So moved.
So moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Ms. Phillips, could you call the roll?
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Very good. Mr. Pinkleton, the live text resolution.
Yes, thank you. The next and final resolution that we would like to bring to the Board of Trustees' attention is a request to purchase live text software. We're bringing this resolution to the Board of Trustees' attention because the dollar amount that we're asking for is $450,000 to be paid over a three-year period. There's a $250,000 threshold that requires the Board of Trustees to authorize us to move forward. So that's why we're bringing it to your attention. The live text software is a content manager that has been, I guess you could say, initiated or initially rolled out in the College of Education. The intent of the content manager is to allow students and faculty to post bodies of work, which they could leverage going forward for their future reference. We've utilized this platform to assist us in the HLC information that was provided, in addition to students are able to utilize this platform as they look to compose digital portfolios post-graduation from CSU, and give them a mechanism to effectively represent their body of work to prospective employers. Are there any questions concerning live text?
If there are no questions or comments from the trustees, then I would ask for a motion to approve the live text resolution.
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Trustee
Ms. Phillips?
Curtin.
Yes.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Mr. Pinkleton, I want to thank you for spending that time with me and kind of going through a lot of things to a new guy. It helped. Thank you.
You're welcome, Trustee Curtin. If there are no other questions for me, that concludes the presentation for Administration and Finance.
Thank you. I believe we have Mr. Schumacher.
Good morning, trustees.
Good morning,
Chairman Young, Vice Chair Joyce, and President Watson. My name is Dan Schumacher, and I'm the Director of Athletics here at Chicago State. The first resolution that I'm bringing forward is a temporary suspension of the funding limitations for FY14. This is a similar resolution that was presented last year in June of 2012 regarding FY13. With that, it suspends the board regulations for 1.5% appropriated dollars towards athletics and raising it with the opportunity for the president to approve up to 5% of the appropriated dollars to adequately fund the athletic department at its current state.
And Mr. Chairman and trustee members, I would like to put forth a recommendation to the board for first reading for an amendment to the board regulations. The university is committed to supporting our Department of Athletics. We have made significant strides in that department with obtaining our NCAA accreditation and entering the Western Athletic Conference. However, we cannot stop there. We remain committed to providing the financial support for the Department of Athletics in order for CSU to be competitive, both on the court and off the court. It must be noted that state appropriations may be used to support universities' intercollegiate program. With that, I ask that the Board of Trustees consider amending their regulations to provide for an increase to the permanent funding to the Department of Athletics. We are seeking to amend the board regulations to increase the permanent funding from 1.5% to 5%. This increase in funding will ensure that the Department of Athletics can appropriately and effectively operate, continue to fill the roster for all sports, and help improve the competitiveness of all our athletic teams as we move into and start competing in the WAC. I will now turn to our athletic director, Dan Schumacher, to explain the resolution in further detail. Dan?
This resolution would be a permanent change to the board regulations that will ensure, as President Watson alluded to, it will ensure the stability, the funding level that will make us the most competitive that Chicago State has seen in many years. We have moved into a new era of athletics, which requires a commitment from the institution and, of course, the Board of Trustees. So this permanent regulation change to the board from 1.5% up to the president's discretion, up to 5%, would accomplish that and would ensure full roster sizes, which we've lacked over the last 10 years, proper funding for scholarships, facility upgrades, facility maintenance, all the things that will allow our athletic department to prosper and to be competitive in the Division I landscape. So I ask for your support in this resolution.
Can I ask, just historically, or for factual information, I know people cast a cold eye sometimes on funding for athletic programs. I'm intimately familiar with that. Can you give a little bit of background on what other universities, even in the WAC, do in terms of percentage of funding for athletics?
Yes. Well, let's start from a larger standpoint. There's 240 public institutions. There's 340 total Division I schools. There's 240 public institutions. Out of those 240, only 7 of them do not receive subsidies from the institution. So out of those 240, most basically everybody received these types of funding from the institution, as well as what we can add on top of that from revenue generation. Yesterday, one of our administrators alluded to the fact that, you know, our men's basketball program generates almost $700,000 a year. And that's a big piece that helps us pay for all the other athletic teams. But the culmination of the revenue generation, along with the subsidy from the institution, will allow us to be very competitive. As it relates to the WAC, we are going to be the lowest funded school in the Western Athletic. Even with this resolution, we will still be the lowest funded school in the Western Athletic Conference by almost $2 million. So it's very significant. Out of the 240 institutions in NCAA that are public institutions, we are 7th from the bottom out of that whole group. So as much as it may seem like a large increase, comparable to our competition, including our own peer institutions in Chicago, we are still fairly considered a low resource institution. But we will be very thankful and grateful and humble that if we can receive this kind of funding that will truly move our department forward.
Thank you. Are there any questions, comments?
I have a question.
Okay.
And I'm in favor of this resolution. My concern, and just a question you may not be able to answer it, is that this is a percentage increase. Does that mean that no matter what the budget may be, you'll receive that 5%, or if that is what you ask for in your budget request? In other words, this is not an absolute number.
That
so
is correct.
Are there budgets submitted by that athletic department to justify their spending so that it's not just an open-ended 5%? Because it is a percentage and not an absolute amount.
Yes, sir, Trustee Smith. We submit a budget to administration and finance. You know, when you do send in a budget, you're, for lack of better terms, you shoot the moon.
Right.
You know, you're going to ask for what your dreams and hopes are. This particular, even though we're asking for these an amendment to these board, this year, working with Larry Pinkleton in his office and the president's office, we are only going to be receiving 3.5%.
Right.
So
yeah.
Last year was over 3.5%. It was a transitional year. We needed some things to get done, the baseball stadium, things like that. So we leaned on the budget for that. But this year will be only 3.5%.
Right.
So, and that's, you know, that's still a far ways from the 5%, but it will get the job done this year.
That helps me. Thank you.
The athletic department trustee must justify their projected expenditures. 5%, as you observed, is not an absolute.
Right.
It's not a given. They must come in with a justification, and based on that, we approve it. And it will not go up to 5% unless there is truly a justification. As you can see, last year, we didn't let it go that high.
Yeah.
Now, as an offset from a revenue standpoint, we have brought in 32 more student athletes than last year. Mm-hmm. So there's 32 more bodies with no more scholarship dollars than we handed out last year. So there's quite a few that are paying their own way to be here to be a Chicago State athlete. So we are helping from an enrollment standpoint and a revenue standpoint that will help offset this. And we will continue to grow enrollment in athletics as we have the program expansion, as well as getting to optimal roster sizes.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman. It's more procedurally, so we'll all understand. We're in the process of changing the board regulations, right, correct, so that you don't have to come back year after year.
That would be the goal.
Right. And this is the first reading. Uh-huh. And so what happens after today in terms of changing the reg? I'm addressing this to either the university attorney or the board attorney can tell us what happens after today.
Well, there has to be a second reading. In between, it's available for comment from various stakeholders, and then it'll be brought back to the board for final approval. That's why it's important, Mr. Chairman, to address this action item in two bites of the apple, so to speak. The first one dealing with, I think Mr. Schumacher wanted to address this year, 2013-2014, which is item A, and then item B would be prospective after the second reading approval.
So that means we will cast another vote on this same issue.
On item B, yes.
Yes, so the first one is the temporary suspension, and then the permanent. The temporary would be approved today to move us forward for this FY14 year, with the second reading coming at the December board meeting, which then would solidify it to make it a permanent piece of the for administration and finance for planning purposes.
Mr. Chair, in addition, it is the president's office, under the guise of shared governance and also as required, will have 1 to 2 town hall meetings, public meetings, with faculty, with the faculty senate included, with the with civil service, students, to get their input, so that when this is done, all stakeholders within the university and external to the university would have had an opportunity. And that's a very necessary step. And that will take place between now and the December meeting.
Okay. So do we need to approve this first reading amendment?
No, there's no action.
Okay.
It's just information.
Any further questions?
If there are no further questions, do I have a motion to approve the fiscal year athletic funding resolution, the fiscal year 14 athletic funding resolution?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Lake?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
That would conclude my report then. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dan.
Mr. Chairman, we would want to vote on item B, approving the first reading of the proposed amendment for athletic funding in the future.
So I would move that we approve the first reading of the athletic proposed changes to the board's regulations for the athletic funding for the future.
Correct. Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Lake?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Good. Shannon, we'll have a report on IT.
Good morning, Board of Trustees. Good morning, President Watson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to give a quick update on the progress IT has made this summer. This summer, IT has upgraded all the network switches that were deployed in mid-1990s to the latest technology. So we are from, our students will see at the desktop almost a 10 times increase in speed connecting to our servers. We've also upgraded our almost 550 computers on campus, solely dedicated for students. So across the library, various computer labs on campus, we have started moving in new computers, replacing old ones. So those are some of the things IT is working, has finished right now, but also working towards expanding those initiatives in future. We have 6 resolutions on the agenda today. The first resolution is related to network storage. Network storage will allow us the capability to store our data that belongs to the university in the university data center. So instead of saving the data that we have or our files critical to the university operations on local computers, we will also save it on the centralized storage system, which will be managed and monitored by our university officials. We do not have that capability right now. So the resolution is to establish this data center and this capability at CSU. The second resolution on our agenda is related to cable TV service.
Do you want to ask a question?
Yeah, I have a question. On the first one, is there a dollar amount you're requesting?
Yes, the dollar amount to set up that infrastructure over a 3-year period is $915,000.
And my other question is, you allude that it's going to be given to Dell, who's our vendor?
Yes, we can partner with Dell to set up that infrastructure for us.
So is that because we use Dell already, or should there be a competitive bidding of that contract?
Well, Dell is one of the approved vendors by the state. So it's already, they've already gone through the process, and Dell has been approved by the state to work with state universities. And that's why we can potentially contract with Dell to establish.
I guess my question is to make sure we're being cost sensitive, that is Dell the best one to go to? Are there other approved vendors? Or?
And Trustee Smith, absolutely. We will look at other vendors as well.
Okay. Because it said Dell.
Yes, and this is just an approximate. Maybe the price may go down if we come, right, if we look at other vendors.
So it's not for Dell exclusively you're going to
look
at?
Oh, no, absolutely.
All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you. The second item on our agenda is cable TV service. It's a service that we already provide to our stakeholders at CSU, including the students in the residence halls, the athletics departments. So this resolution is to request approval to continue providing that service going forward in calendar year 2015 onwards.
Any questions on that resolution?
Could you give the amount of
the amount is $260,000 over a 5-year period for cable TV service. The third item on our agenda is related to telephone service. Telephone is one of the services we already provide to our stakeholders at CSU. Pretty much every employee has access to a telephone to conduct their business at CSU. And we contract with a company to maintain the telephone system for us, to make any changes to the telephone system if an employee moves from one office to the other. And this resolution is to request approval to continue providing that service to our CSU stakeholders. The amount requested through this resolution is $714,000 over a 2-year period. And this goes through a competitive bid as approved by the state.
Questions? Please continue.
The fourth item on our agenda is related to CBOARD. To give some background, every student or employee who joins CSU is issued a Cougar card. This Cougar card is provided by a company called CBOARD. We have used this system to give students the Cougar card, which can be used in the library, for the dining facilities, and so on. We want to expand this initiative further and implement security systems on our building doors. So basically, when a student walks in, he or she can swipe the card, and pretty much the security would know who's in the building at any given point of time, especially on weekends. So it also gives ability to our security to lock down the campus at a moment's notice, literally through a computer, in case there is such a situation. So, and also expanding this initiative, we will know who is in a computer lab at any given point of time, just for security.
And when do you expect that system to be in place?
This system will be in place by the by end of June, at least the initial part where the doors will be set up. So we can start moving towards swipe card system for the doors. And gradually over a period of time, we will move across to the individual classrooms and the computer labs. Mm-hmm. But during the first year, we anticipate putting the system in place for the front doors of every building.
And this dollar amount includes the hardware?
Absolutely.
For the
it
doors?
It includes the hardware, and it includes the professional services that is required to implement this system. And the maintenance.
Any questions on that resolution? Continue.
The fifth item on our agenda is identity and access management. To give some background, currently when a new employee joins the university, he or she may need access to 4, 5, or 6 applications to conduct their day-to-day business. It could be our ERP system, it could be our campus portal, it could be CSQ Buy, that is our procurement system, and so on. Now, when this employee leaves the university, we, as the university, have to make sure that we disable access to all the systems that the employee had access to. If we do not do that, even by chance we lose one system, it becomes an audit finding, a potential audit finding for the university. This system, if established, will allow the university to pretty much create a switch whereby we can, if we turn off the switch as soon as the employee leaves, it will disable access to all the applications that he or she had access to. So we request your approval to move forward with the implementation of identity management system. It's going to cost us $360,000 over a 5-year period.
Any questions? Please continue.
The last item on our agenda is Ellucian and Oracle software. Ellucian is the ERP system that the university is using for past several years, beginning in 1990s, mid to late 1990s. So pretty much every financial transaction, every student registration, every employee transaction that happens at the university is recorded in Banner, which is provided by Ellucian. So we are requesting approval from the board to continue providing maintenance to the company who's providing us the ERP system over the next 3-year period. So that is the first request in this resolution. The second request is to continue working on several projects that IT has initiated to improve productivity of our employees and students at CSU. The 3-year maintenance will cost the university a little over $1 million, and the projects will cost the university a little over $600,000. So the request for funding is to continue paying Ellucian for maintenance for using their software.
Are there any questions on that resolution or any of the previous?
So this resolution provides maintenance for 3 years, and it's 1 year worth of projects.
That's correct. So in case any project, if the expense for any project goes beyond this stated amount, it comes back to the board.
Any other questions? Comments? Well, then I would ask for a motion to approve the following resolutions: the network storage resolution, the cable TV service resolution, the telephone maintenance resolution, the Seaboard resolution, the identity management resolution, and the Ellucian management and support resolution.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Please call the roll.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Lake?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
That concludes IT's report.
And I believe that concludes the Finance and Audit Committee business.
Now we move to a facilities update. Trustee Smith?
Good morning, trustees.
Good morning.
For the record, my name is Monique Horton. I'm the Assistant Director of Facilities. In our report, we mentioned quite a few things that we have completed. I will highlight two of the things that we will be including for your record. The completion of the 95th Street entry at St. Lawrence has been completed and opened up to the public as of maybe 1 week after the start of school. The start of the Douglas Hall building envelope project has begun. We will replace all of the existing windows in the building with double pane insulated windows for energy efficiency. So we are very excited about those two projects. If there are any questions about the report, I would like to move on to the resolution. Facilities has one resolution. It is for the fire alarm system upgrade. We seek to install fire alarm panels in some of the existing buildings and also one building which does not have a control panel on Cottage Grove. We also seek to upgrade some of the existing buildings in BHS and the physical plant as well as Douglas Hall. We will be doing this project over 3 years. It is estimated to be $500,000. We are bringing this to the board because it does exceed the $250,000 limit. Any questions?
Are there any questions or comments from the trustees? If not, the board entertains a motion to approve the fire alarm system resolution.
So moved.
Is there second. A second?
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Lake?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
This concludes facilities report. Thank you.
Legislative and Human Resources, Trustee Lake.
Thank you. We're asking for Dr. Mitchell to come.
Good morning, trustees.
Morning.
Morning. Morning.
My name is Renee Mitchell. I am the Director of Human Resources. My report for you is very brief today. There are two major mandates that the state has initiated, which will affect our human resources. One being the SERS return to work. I gave in the report that you received, there is a briefing on what that entails. The actual impact to the university can be very specific, and your questions may be specific around individuals. So I thought you may want to talk about that under employment matters, under the executive session. In addition, we have the Affordable Care Act, which we are working on now. We will be sending out emails as well as letters to all of the employees informing them about the Affordable Care Act and notifying them that the open enrollment will begin October 1st for the marketplace if anybody wishes to seek health care through the marketplace. So we will be sending that to both the staff members as well as the students for student employment. Are there any questions?
I have a question. When you send it out for marketplace, is there a list of vendors they're given? They wouldn't know who to, what the choices are, would they?
So what the federal government is asking individuals to do is to go on a website that they consider to be the marketplace. Okay. Some people identify it as the exchange.
Right.
And what an individual will do is go on to the marketplace and sort of select what they believe would be a good health care for themselves. What we have FAQs, which are frequently asked questions that we will be providing to the employees that indicate that if your employer, which is the state for us, if they already provide health care for you, the chances are if you go on the marketplace, you may not find anything that's cheaper. However, everyone has the opportunity to go on the marketplace and look at them and identify what they would like and make a choice.
Yeah, I think what may be important, I'm sure if it's in your purview, but if people have insurance already or they have a provider, they need to know they make a choice of a vendor, they may not be included under their provider. And I think it's the most commonly made mistake that people choose a cheap system but does not include their provider.
I agree. And what we'll put that in the frequently asked questions. So we have to notify them both by email. We'll put up a web page so that our employees can go on and get information, and we're sending a letter to their home. Are there any additional questions?
How much assistance are you allowed to give, particularly to maybe students who haven't had to address an issue like this before? If they come in and say, I don't know which one to, What can you do?
Unfortunately, we are not, we being the Office of Human Resources, are not allowed to give very much assistance other than providing them with links where they can seek out additional information. That also includes our employees. So we have engaged CMS, which is the state's health provider, and even they are very limited in what they will provide as information to the Office of Human Resources to give to the employees. So we do have a sheet that will provide a link that sort of explains what the Health Care Act is about, what you should do, these are the things you should consider. So it's very limited. We can only direct them to for more information.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, for the record, Dr. Mobley Smith, Dean of the College of Pharmacy. Actually, I have a little information on that, and I can answer your question if I may.
Please.
When anyone goes on the website, there are options for help. At any point, if a person seems stuck, it'll say, "Do you need help?" And they'll actually put them in touch with in-person assisters and so on, which is what's going on in the state of Illinois. I happen to be on a CMS panel, and so we've been addressing all of this, and that's how I know that answer. So for individuals then who are still having a problem, they can actually make appointments with navigators who are federally sponsored or another category of individuals who are state sponsored. They can actually sit down with someone. And as a matter of fact, we're actually training our students to work with the system as well. We'll be in Inglewood and some other areas.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. And Mr. Patrick Cage is going to come at this time.
Yes, trustees, I have three resolutions to involve the implementation of state mandates. The first resolution is around flexible working hours. The state, through this legislation, has tasked the university with the obligation to provide flexible working hours for 20% of its workforce, and through this legislation, the university is to achieve that 20% goal by 2016.
Pat, I understand that we have flexible hours right now.
Yes.
Don't we? What percent of the staff would you say? Where are we in terms of?
I think between 13 and 16%.
Okay. So we ought to reach the 20% with no trouble?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
My next resolution involves the implementation of legislation that the university sought and received from the state regarding the sale of alcohol. With this resolution, the university would designate certain places on.
So we're going to take these one at a time. I'd like to take the flexible hours and ask for approval, and then we'll go to the next.
That's fine.
So we'll keep them separate.
All right.
All right.
So moved.
Are there any questions on the flexible hours for Mr. Cage? If not, we're open to a motion to that effect.
Motion to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and second. Let the clerk call the roll.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Mr. Cage?
My next resolution involves the sale of alcohol on campus. The university sought and received from the state legislature legislation which would allow the university to sell alcohol at certain places designated by the board and the president on campus. The university will not be selling alcohol to students, but this will make the university a more attractive place for outside entities wanting to use the university's facilities.
The university will not hold a liquor license, right?
Or will
it? It will not. Okay.
Any other questions?
I have a question. So just to understand it, so this is not, we're not going to purchase alcohol. We're going to allow, if an outside person wants to use the university's setting, wants to sell alcohol, they bring theirs in. We don't buy alcohol.
That's correct.
And what about when it's our function, when it's the university's function?
We would use our food service vendor, and our food service vendor has an alcohol license,
okay.
And so the provision of alcohol would be done through our, or accomplished through our food service vendor,
okay.
Sodexo.
Any further questions? If not, the chair is open for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
You've heard the motion. Consider it and state it. Clerk will call the roll.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
My third and last resolution also involves the implementation of a state mandate surrounding conceal and carry. As you are well aware, in this legislation, an exception was carved out for universities. However, this the universities, through this legislation, were tasked with making available various drop-off points for individuals coming to campus with weapons, and it also tasked university with designating certain parking lots where weapons can be lawfully kept for individuals coming to campus on weapons. The university decided not to designate certain parking lots because we thought that that might lead to an increase in vandalism. And so this is an implementation of that state statute.
So exactly how are we going to implement it? What will someone who's carrying a weapon do with their weapon?
Well, the legislation also provides that that the university put up signage, but in answer to your question, the individuals coming to campus would have to drop off their weapons at the police department. But this will, if they're coming to campus with in a car, they could leave their weapon in a lockbox in a car, just so long as it's not visible. That's essentially the legislation.
Have we devised a plan of action to protect our students from the type of tragedies that we're seeing around the country in our university?
Yes, the university has certain emergency response preparedness strategies that it has been implementing for the last 4 years since the president has come on board. We have periodic meetings, emergency meetings, where we test those strategies, and so we're working together with the university police, city of Chicago police, and the state police in implementing those strategies. There was a component of this this resolution involving bullying that was sort of redacted from this policy, and so what we're going to, what the university plans to do is to roll out its a bullying policy through its the policy approval process that's in place here at the university.
Mm-hmm.
And if I may, I think one of the resolutions we passed in IT regarding sideboard, mm-hmm. with the university approaching the point where they'll be able to lock the university down in very short notice with these key cards in the system. Am I correct that would, one of the main reasons we're doing that is for security purposes, is that correct?
Right.
So if there's a problem someplace, the chief of police can basically lock the university down. And
right now, a student cannot enter a classroom with a weapon?
No.
And how is that managed? How are we able to determine that he is, when he comes into that classroom, he does not have a weapon?
You don't know. Well,
you don't know.
You We don't, quite frankly.
I mean, there's no way for us to make that determination, sir. The only individual that would legally be allowed to carry a weapon are sworn officers, you know, and that, you know, they can carry an office, they can carry a weapon on campus, and they can be concealed.
That's going to be, though, when the veto session takes place, do we expect there to be any variations to the present legislation that may impact on the university?
Not as it relates to the universities. The general councils, the nine general councils from the various state schools had significant input in the crafting of this legislation and carving out the exception for universities for this conceal and carry.
There's been pretty much agreement across the board on this one.
My concern is the university itself, to the fact that we've got these, that this university is open to this community, that people can just walk in. And that's always been an area of concern for me, that we have no fences or gates or whatever. And with this new legislation, I just think we possibly, I'll be talking to some legislators to see if there is a particular element of security that, because of the nature of our open door situation here, that we could utilize to ensure that our students are safe. So I'll be working on that, and I'll certainly share that with you, Mr. Cage.
Absolutely, appreciate it.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Cage?
Yeah, I need an understanding. So from this resolution, I understand that if persons are legally allowed to carry a weapon, but we have an exception, they must drop it off at the police station.
Yes.
So there are no firearms that are housed on this campus by us.
Except in parking lots.
But even those not housed by us.
No. They would, individuals bringing weapons on campus in motor vehicles are responsible for keeping those weapons in a locked portion of the vehicle, not visible to the general public.
And I understand we have security officers here who have weapons.
Yes, right. And this would not affect them. And right. It would not affect sworn officers who are off duty. Right.
And the police officers here are sworn officers in the state
sure.
police who have been going through massive training.
Okay. Yeah, you know, again, I think we're all concerned about safety, but, you know, this is a public institution. It is impossible to ascertain with 100% clarity who has a weapon and who does not.
Yeah.
So I think these safeguards are pretty restrictive. I think they should be, mm-hmm. but it's impossible to totally lock it down, or you'll have a state camp here instead of a university.
And Trustee, I would add that with all our challenges, the Chicago State University is the second safest university statistically in the state of Illinois.
Thank God.
Thanks to our the efforts of our very able police department.
Any other questions for Mr. Cage? If not, the chair is open to a motion.
So moved.
Second.
You've heard your motion considered and stated. The clerk will call the roll.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young? Trustee Young?
Yes.
We skipped over our update on enrollment management. Could we have that at this time?
Yes.
Ms. Dee.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For the record, I'm Sheila Collins, the interim dean of the First Year Experience Program. I will be giving the report for enrollment management on behalf of interim vice president LaShondra Peoples, who is convalescing at home due to foot surgery. I have a brief report for you today on our enrollment, retention, and scholarships. Presently, we have 5,802 students registered this term. Of that, 4,420 are undergraduates and 1,382 are graduate students. That is a 5% decrease from last year, with most of the decrease coming in our graduate student populations. We also have a retention rate for our 2012 cohort of 54.4%, which is an increase over the 2011 cohort, which was at 48%. Also, with our scholarships, we're very happy to be able to report that we've offered over 2,000 scholarships for this term. That's $1.5 million. Applications are still being processed for students. Over 400 of those scholarships were book scholarships, which our students struggle with purchasing their books each term, which means that they don't do that well academically. 1,500 of those scholarships were automatic, meaning that the students did not have to do anything but have meet certain criteria, and the university awarded them. Of that, about 500 were application-based scholarships that were awarded to departments and various programs across campus. At this time, do you have any questions?
Why the decrease in graduate students?
Well, enrollment management is working with academic affairs in order to better streamline the process of bringing on graduate students. The application process needs a little bit of work as well as recruitment. So hopefully next year that we'll see an increase back to where we were previously.
Okay.
One of our efforts to address that is that we have hired a new provost or assistant provost for the graduate school. And would you please stand so we can recognize? And Dr. Paul Collins, she's our new provost. We got her from Northwestern University.
Well trained. What was the decline in enrollment in the undergraduate school?
It was around 4%.
And do you know what it was last year?
I'm not sure. I have to check.
I'm going to ask. I would hope there's a really clear answer to this. How good is the recruiting, the marketing program for incoming freshmen, for, you know, to retain the, what are we doing? This concerns me, candidly, that, you know, can I ask you what the incoming freshman number was?
We have around 300 incoming freshmen. Of that, around 250 are first-time full-time freshmen. The rest are part-time students.
Okay.
Which is consistent with last year. So we now have a benchmark of around 300 freshmen each year.
Okay.
So to answer your question about recruitment, our marketing team and our admissions team have been working to reach out to not only our CPS schools, but our partners around in the suburbs, the western suburbs, the southern suburbs. We also have events coming up in terms of open houses in order to bring students to our campus so that they can see what we have to offer and make them know that Chicago State is a wonderful institution and should be an institution of first choice. So we're very aggressive in our recruitment efforts in the city, as well as expanding outside of Chicago as well.
We have taken a very close look at our admission standards. Our ACT scores have gone up.
The average last year was 18. We haven't looked at it.
Compared to the previous year?
It was around 16.
So we've raised our ACT scores 2 points over the years. And we do not want to exclude. We want to be inclusive, but we also want to be a diverse university, diverse meaning diversity of academic foundation. We want students of different academic aptitudes to be at our university. And we in the past have had, we didn't have that much diversity.
Okay. Go ahead, Doctor, I'm sorry.
The other answer to your question is, our students are significantly financially challenged.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at why a lot of our students do not return, it's very basic. Money, and also we have the largest population, largest cohort in the entire state of Illinois of students who have children. 70% of our students are female. Of that 70% that are female, let me state, over 70% of those female students have one or two children. And sometimes, and quite often, and faculty and staff will tell you, A student would drop out of school having nothing to do with money. It has to do with health care. And you see faculty members shaking their head, I don't know, having to do with health care of their child. When your child gets sick, you miss 3 weeks of school, you know. Mm-hmm. Regrettably, in some instances, they decide to drop or not return.
Oh, that's fair.
So we have a very different kind of demographic.
I do. One of my concerns is with the first year students, the first time college kids. I will tell you from my own personal experience where I work, we're not visible, and we should be. You know, I talked to some of the kids. Maybe I'm out of my lane here saying this as a trustee. I don't know. People know I'm a graduate of this place. I taught here. I worked in admissions. I care about this place. I talk it up where I am. It happens to be a Catholic school. And these kids are unfamiliar with this university, of what it has to offer, that there's nursing and that there's pharmacy and all of that. And I suggest that maybe admissions, you know, recruitment ought to take a little look at that. That's all. That's all. You know, I'm not trying to be difficult here. Okay? Thanks.
Sir, and we are going to become more aggressive, and we have become more, but we have to reach out more. We need to reach out to the parochial schools. We need to reach out to schools in the suburbs. So the answer is yes. We agree with you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
My question regards the first-time, full-time freshmen, because that seems to be such an important measurement. Of our first-time, full-time freshmen from last September, how many have returned?
54% of those. 54.4. In 2011, the 2011 cohort was at 48%, so we had a significant increase.
And I'm not talking about the entire university, not just the first year.
That's it, 54.4%.
54%.
Okay. Right direction. Good.
We increased our programming. We increased workshops for students to do better. Most of that cohort, their challenge was economic, so many of them who did not return could not pay off their bills. So that's something we're still trying to work on, how to provide better aid and more aid to students who cannot afford to come back.
I like that.
Scholarships did help this year.
That's why. How do you determine that it's economics if almost all of our students have financial aid? If someone doesn't come back, how do you know why they didn't come back?
Well, they'll have holds on their accounts from the bursar's office, meaning that they cannot register for classes. And so if they do not have the funds to pay that bill, the university cannot allow them to continue to come back. So many of those students can't come up with the money, therefore they do not return. And scholarships have helped that this year. We've seen a significant increase in our retention rate, and a lot of that is because we had scholarship funds available to our students who were in good academic standing, who were able to get those funds. So it's important to us in the first year that we continue to have money to support our students who are doing well so that they can continue on and graduate.
I guess I'm hearing we're doing well giving our students scholarships, but they're not coming back because of finances.
They're not coming back because of finances, as well as many of our students have personal life issues. We have lots of pregnancies. We have a group of students who have challenges, and we are doing our best to address those challenges to help support them. So it's not perfect, but we're doing better.
Mr. Chairman,
the scholarships that we give have a criteria. We're not just giving scholarships to anyone who walks in the door.
Right.
They must come back, and they must be at a certain level before we give them scholarships. If not, when we go back to the state, we're going to have to answer to the state. They're going to say, who did you give scholarships to? And if we give scholarships to students that are, who are at a subpar level, we're going to be challenged to be able to get those dollars away.
But I think the problem is deeper than that. I think that we have to be very careful when we use these terms scholarships. You know, we have a large church, and I'll guarantee you that what she has said to us is true. If you give me a $1,000 scholarship, but my bill is $3,000, I'm still drop out. So let's not be fooled by that.
Yes.
The cost of education has gone up tremendously. It is the number one reason that students drop out. And so support is a subjective term. The question is, how deep is that support? The students that we have targeted, and as I think Trustee Curtin is on the right track, we have to, I think, expand our catchment area to make sure we have not telescoped which students we recruit. Having said that, it is easy to admit somebody, but if they don't have the ability to compete, I think it's reminiscent to me years ago with the Head Start program, where kids were admitted to school, but they were not fed. You know, again, you've got to look at the whole picture. Just because you admit somebody does not mean they can complete it. And sometimes it is almost antithetical that they're admitted easily, but they're not supported. I think it's not proper. If you're going to admit somebody, you have to at least know that student has a good chance of finishing their curriculum. And I think we have to redouble our efforts about the foundation and other means that these students, whether they like it or not, need financial support. And without it, you know, life is a reality. And you know, basic life issues sometimes will trump what we know is very important, that is education. So I think that we have to make sure that we have the ability, if we can, to some degree, we don't have limited funds to support these students in a very real way, not just to say we give them scholarships. If you give me $500, it's not going to help me if I need $10,000.
True. Very true. And this year, we, not this year, this year and last year, for the first time, we were turning students down. Because like you said, it's easy to admit, and that's what was happening before. We were admitting. That's why our numbers were inflated some. We are now turning students down, regrettably. But when we turn them down, we recommend that they go to a community college.
Right.
Okay?
Good.
And we may be turning down more based upon us trying to establish a more diverse academic foundation for our students when they come in.
Are there any other questions? That concludes my report. Thank you.
Okay.
Sir,
thank you.
Sir, the last point that I want to make on that, been meeting with faculty, and some of the feedback that we've been getting back is that faculty are seeing a stronger student in class. They have volunteered that. They have come forth and made that statement, that they are seeing a different student in class than what they've seen before. And we attribute that to the standards that we've been setting, that the faculty have been holding to, and that the administration has been setting.
Do you want to give your foundation update at this time, Dr. Smith, or would you rather do it after we go into executive session?
Well, I can give it. It's very cursory. I think most of us know that last night that the foundation hosted their annual fundraiser with the featured artist, Mr. Smokey Robinson. I wasn't here, so I can't really speak to it in definitive terms, but I understand it was great representation, and of course, the bottom line is, did we raise any money? And so, if there's persons who were here who want to comment about it.
I will make a comment. Katay, you're here. Katay, please feel free to comment. Smokey, you know.
He was smoking it. What did he smoke?
Smokey has not lost any of his smoke. Ooh. You know, he was very smooth.
Smooth.
He was very engaging. The audience responded, and I guess the appropriate word would be in a passionate way. Okay. I want to commend Katay, will you please come forward?
What about the money?
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Katay Assem, and I'm executive director of the foundation. Trustees, we did have a very good event. We had over 2,100 people in attendance.
Good.
Of course, the morning after an event, you're still counting your checks. You're still counting your money. At this point, what I can speak to specific to that event is that we had a great event. We had dinner with Smokey after the event. He was very pleased with Chicago State. The other side of the event was the positive notoriety that we received from the event. And you've just had a conversation around enrollment, and all of those things impact the way the public sees the university. And when the public sees the university in a positive light, they make contributions to the foundation. I must also say that all of us, as we feel good about the university, contribute to the university. we're still receiving checks. So if there's anybody in this room who has a check to give, I am more than happy to take it. Thank you very much.
What we're going to do today, we're about to recess into executive session. We have a couple of employment matters that require a vote of the board. So we're going to recess into executive session, very briefly discuss those employment matters, come back out in the open session and vote on those employment matters, and then go back into executive session for the rest of our executive session agenda. So do I need a motion?
Need a motion.
Do I need a motion to?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee yes. Curtin?
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Lee?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Very good.